Hi, I'm Carissa Powell.
Hey, this is Tara Coleman.
Welcome back. And on this episode, we'll be talking about working while the world is falling apart and also being a marginalized person. So Tara, let's start off checking in. How are you really doing right now?
I have two answers. I am fine. Also, I am struggling. So that's complicated, right? There's a lot going on in the world right now. And it's really hard to separate. I had to have a slight break with the news. And then I realized I was still ingesting all the news. We are a week past the storming of the White House, which was the icing on a really crappy year since the pandemic started of terrible things happening in the world. And that one was a real punch in the chest. And when things are stressful, who you wake up as, your identity can really affect how you feel and how you're treated. And we want to spend a little bit of time talking about that. It would be really funny to me to ask Carissa to describe me to you and I describe her to you, but that would be weird. So instead, Carissa, can you describe yourself? What is your identity? What do you look like?
I am a white cisgender woman. I am living in an incredibly privileged body, and I show up as the majority of our profession of librarianship.
Yeah. So what I would say is internet, go to your favorite browser and search for quirky, supermodel genius, very young looking Black woman with gray hair and sparkly eyes and shiny teeth. That is me. I definitely always look like a person of color. I'm a Black woman, and I live in Kansas, so I tend to stand out wherever I am. And that means that when I'm in the workplace or the grocery store, I don't get to sort of blend into the background, which can make things challenging when rough stuff is going on. In particular, with really kind-hearted people. And one of the things that I've noticed at work has been when things like this go on, people really want to open up space in the workplace to talk about it. And that has great intentions, but can be a real struggle if you are one of the only and lonely in your organization. So one of the things I'd like to share is when you're planning these discussions in your workplace, if you want to take breaks in your all staff to talk about racism or being anti-racist, be mindful of who is in the room and how you have this discussion. Have you had any of those discussions in the workplace, Carissa?
Yes, we have had a couple of those, and I definitely recognize that I show up in that space in a very different way. I think a lot of those conversations are made for white people to process their feelings. I think there is a best way to have those conversations, but I think sometimes that doesn't happen. Do you have advice for people who are maybe scheduling these types of meetings or running these meetings or even just attending meetings like this?
Yeah. So, I have mixed feelings because I think everyone should have to do this. But I know that in my personal experience, if I am in the room, a couple of things happen. People will not speak or be authentic if I'm the person in the room, especially because I'm going to be the only person of color in the meeting. And that means that there's a heavy burden on me. I end up being a therapist or comforting other people who for the first time are maybe realizing something that I have known since I knew anything. So create these spaces so that if you are a person of privilege, if you are, a white cisgendered person, you are the one who answers hard questions. It's not automatically put on the shoulders of your person of color. And I'll say, I am not a queer woman. I know that queer people in the workplace also experience struggles like this, but that's not something I can speak to. I can tell you that I have, because I am mindful of the people in my organization who are not out with that information, that I take it as I need to be more of an advocate for the people who are not comfortable doing that. for whatever reason. And that might be something for you to consider if you're a white person in your organization. When people start to turn to maybe your one person of color and asking them to answer all the questions, you step in and be that person. I think that if you want to check in on people, be mindful of who they are. Doing a wellness check like Krista did is great. I think you should also privately check in with people. So if we were in a meeting of 50, asking openly how everyone's doing is great, but then maybe Krista would check in with me one-on-one outside so that there's not an audience. Because when you do it like that, check on the one queer person or person of color, it looks like you're doing it for yourself, not for them. What have you seen in your workplace, Krista, that you have found to be really helpful?
Well, one, thank you for sharing, Tara. This is really valuable information, I think, for people to be hearing. And I think hopefully these conversations are happening at a lot of organizations. So one thing I have found to be really helpful is being very intentional and thoughtful about having that conversation. I think that letting people know in advance that this is something that will be talked about and not bringing it up randomly in a meeting can give people some space to prepare going into that meeting, or, you know, just arrive with that intention of that's what the meeting is going to be about. I think that sometimes with things that keep happening throughout the pandemic, sometimes I see it just getting tacked on to a meeting and then the meeting continues normally. And that can be super jarring to then transition from, you know, talking about the siege in Washington, D.C., and then switching gears completely.
Yes, I know that we all are really busy and are important, but sometimes saying we have a full meeting, but actually we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the world right now. You can listen if you don't want to speak up. You can mute your camera if you want to. If you just want to use the chat, that's okay. And giving people all the avenues that they need to talk. I also think it's important that you make a statement. I had a student tell me once that she was in a class and there were some terrible things happening on campus. And the GTA started class out with pop quiz. Is it right or wrong to hang a noose on campus? Right? Obviously, this is wrong. Don't do this. Here's why it's wrong. If we need a history lesson, we can do it. And then went on. And always, there was no awkwardness. It was a statement. So if it is wrong for something to happen, I think it's important that it be stated. I also think that you should create spaces for people to share and point out the resources that you have. So if you are experiencing grief or anxiety, here are the places to get free therapy. If you're experiencing discrimination or you see it happening, here's how you can report it anonymously or named, et cetera. Because we always need those reminders. And it's helpful when you put it out there. It shows that you care. But not only do you have to share that, you have to actually respond. So if you see this or hear it, you have to jump on it right away. I know that there are all sorts of rules, HR, confidentiality, et cetera. To build trust, you have to act. So share and act to make change happen.
All right. And we would also love to hear from listeners. Are there things that you have put into practice or seen put into practice to make conversations about race and racism or being a marginalized person in the workplace? We would love to hear things that have worked really well for you.
Thanks. This is Tara Coleman.
And I'm Carissa Powell.
Peace out, friends. Bye.